It is becoming clearer. Prisons are where a lot of people living with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder are ending up. And prison is the last place they should be to find the support and interventions that they need. Here to help us explore FASD, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, and its relationship to the criminal justice system is Vancouver lawyer David Wolding. David is an advocate and educator on fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. He came to this after many years of making some mistakes working with clients in the system who had FASD, and prompted to him in the past decade to do dozens of workshops, presentations, and written papers on the issue. And David joins us in the studio. Thanks for joining us, David.
Glad to be here.
So I've heard several different terms when we're referring to fetal alcohol, FASD, FASE, FAS. What's the difference in these terms?
The term fetal alcohol spectrum disorder is an umbrella term. It's not a diagnosis. Inside the umbrella are a number of discrete neurological and neurobehavioral diagnoses, and there's a spectrum of them, and they all have different characteristics and severity.
So what is fetal alcohol spectrum disorder?
It's very simple. It's a brain-based birth defect. Mom drinks alcohol. Alcohol is a solvent like nail polish remover, and the alcohol dissolves the baby's brain cells in the womb, and the baby is born missing body parts. They happen to be brain cells. They're not coming back. And so the baby comes into the world with a disability, not unlike somebody who's missing an arm or a leg.
And how common is this?
That's a million-dollar question. There's one piece of peer-reviewed science in the world, done in Canada, done in British Columbia, actually, that came back in our youth custody system. It was about 24 to 40%. Population studies around the world are coming back at 1 to 4% in different kinds of populations. The really bad news is that the people who run the federal prisons, that's 2 years in jail, are very quietly doing their own studies, and their prison populations are coming back at 50 to 80% of the people in our federal prisons have one of the diagnoses.
So that's a really high percentage inside the prison system. What about outside? How does that compare to the number of people, say, just in the general community who are affected by FASD?
I would have to, if you really want the statistics, you go to the FADU website in Seattle, the works of Anne Streisguth, and she's got all this information. But essentially, if you've got fetal alcohol, 75 to 85% chance you're going to jail.
Right. So if you're living with FASD, what does that mean for you? What are some of your challenges?
Attention, learning, adaptive behaviors, reasoning, memory, impulse control, concentration, understanding the difference between value and number. How much is this car worth? I'll give you $300. Okay, when it's worth $5,000. It's a number value thing. The main reason, here's a quick way of looking at it. Emily, you and I are never going to be arrested, and we're never going to go to jail for two reasons. The first reason is you and I have friends. Something happens, it's, Emily, get back in the car. It's not worth it. Get back in the car. Second reason is, Emily, you and I have a voice in the back of the head that says, Emily, you're being really stupid. Get back in the car, People with fetal alcohol, as a rule, don't have friends because their behaviors, quite bluntly, piss everybody off. They just push people away. But the more common reason is that voice in the back of your head, that's a higher brain function. That's that, you know, conscience, that's that fine frontal lobe skills acting up. They don't have that. They literally don't have the brakes on social control. And on the other side of the equation, they often don't get sarcasm, don't understand puns, don't understand social situations. Sometimes they miss social cues. Sometimes they can be very literal and very, very, you know, constructive in their language. If they can't put their hands on it and count it, they don't get it.
So this term or this identification of fetal alcohol spectrum disorder is pretty new.
Yes and no. Aristotle talks about it. It's in the Bible, the Old Testament. We have lots of evidence through history about it. It became a clinical diagnosis in the 60s, became known to the world in the early 80s when it was a big article by two fellows in Seattle was published in Nature. So it's been around as a known medical diagnosis for since about the 80s, but it's largely unknown, I think, for a couple of reasons. And one of the reasons is most people in the business of brains and brain problems are psychiatrists, and they live in the world of the DSM-4. Fetal alcohol is not in the DSM-4 and is not going to be in the DSM-5.
The DSM, what's that?
That's the big silver book of mental illnesses. It's all codified. It's an arbitrary division of symptoms. If you have this symptom and two of these things and two of that, then you're...
You have bipolar disorder.
Then you've got
or whatever.
Bipolar. And so the DSM-4 was an attempt, and it's a good idea, to make sure that people doing the diagnosis were on the same, singing from the same hymn sheet. But because it's based on symptoms, in other words, what I see and the behaviors you have, it's often not helpful. Fetal alcohol is what it is. Mom was drinking, missing brain cells, and there's no cure. There's no fix. All the probation orders in the world, the time in jail, all the therapy, all the drugs in the world you want to give somebody, they're not going to regrow those brain cells. So we have a real problem because, my opinion, that often people in the business, are, they need a label to sort of process the person through a system. Bipolar, there's a good label. So we do the kinds of things we do for bipolar. But I'm not interested in labels. What I want is I want to help people, and to help people, you have to identify how the brain is functioning. You have to see the brain. Ah, this person has real memory problems. Ah, there's just a real problem here with reasoning or learning or attention. There's a specific brain problem. Ah, it's permanent. So what do I have to do? I have to make an accommodation. And the only way I can describe that, it's really simple. Remember all those little holes in the sidewalk we put for the people in wheelchairs?
Like the little ramps.
The little ramps. We have ramps everywhere. That's an accommodation. We need to make those kind of accommodations. And the fetal alcohol intellectual community has a whole bunch of suggestions and a whole bunch of stuff. And it comes down to one simple phrase called the external brain. We need to create a committee of walking, talking people to help with those brain functions that those missing cells need. And it works. Does that help?
Yeah, so you're making a distinction between the symptoms, so someone's acting